This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go, coming your way on a Wednesday evening. We're going to be done early tonight. City SC, they are playing this evening in the U.S. Open Cup, and we're going to have that for you here on KMOX. So if you're used to listening to City Games over on our sister station, Y98, tonight you get it right here on 104.1 FM KMOX. So I only have you for about 45, 50 minutes or so, and we got a lot of Cardinal stuff to talk to. Our good friend Bernie Miklas is going to join us in about 10 minutes. We've got an opportunity for you to chime in if you'd like at 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Cardinals get the win today. They sweep the Pirates. They go 5-1 on this homestand. They've gone back to 500. They've pulled into a second place tie in the division. Just a lot of really good things. I guess here's my look. I am naturally a very positive person, especially when talking about these sort of things. I tend to see the best in things, and when I'm wrong about stuff, generally I'm wrong in terms of overvaluing something or thinking something's going to be better than what it is. I don't think I'm wrong that often on thinking something's not going to be good and then it's good. Like, just my personality is I see the best in things. So I am seeing the best in the Cardinals right now for sure. And I'm excited. Like, I'm excited about the way the team is playing. I'm not writing them into the playoff field on May 7th. But I'm excited about the way they're playing. I'm excited about a young group of players who I think can get better as the season gets along. Bluntly, I enjoy watching this team play, and it's a lot of fun. Like, how could you not just love watching Victor Scott II today? How could you not love it? For him to get around the bases, first to home, first on a single, going like, what was it, the 9.4 seconds or 9.26, whatever the number was, sixth fastest time this year, and he had in all of Major League Baseball, and he had a stumble around second. Just to see that, and then to see him also score from first on what was technically a double, but only a double because of Mason Wynn just busting it out of the box, and that was out to left field. Like, just Victor Scott II, his speed is doing special things for this team. And watching Mason Wynn do what he does in the field, and then he's really, really looking good at the plate right now. Since moving up to the two spot, he has been absolutely on fire. Two straight days of starting pitchers giving you seven innings. The bullpen has really solidified here recently. There's going to be low moments. This team still has not proven they can win on the road. That's the next thing they have to do. That's a scary thing to say when they're about to go on a nine-game road trip. Three city trips also kind of scare me. Three city trips can go bad really quickly, and if they go bad, it's not good, because that's a lot of games. And I don't love the fact that Kansas City is the third city on this trip, because Kansas City is a team that you should have some success against. And by the time you roll into there as the third city, if things are going bad, the last thing you want is to lose some games against Kansas City that you wouldn't lose against them if it wasn't a three-city trip. So I am hopeful that now that this team has gone back to 500, that they can stay at 500, but a bad trip puts them back under, and that's where they're at. But, I mean, they're trending in all the right areas. They've won five in a row. Longest active win streak in Major League Baseball. 7-3 in their last 10. That's tied for the second most wins in their last 10. Only the Dodgers at 8-2 in their last 10 are better. What they have done at home this year is absolutely remarkable. They're 15-6 at home. 15-6. They are tied with the Dodgers for the most wins at home in Major League Baseball. Admittedly, the Dodgers have a better home winning percentage because they've played less games. So the Dodgers are 15-3 at home, as opposed to the Cardinals being 15-6. But the 15 wins, all being said, I mean, that's a really good record at home, and they have found ways to win. The pitching's been good. The bullpen's been good. So good stuff. Good stuff all the way around, and I'm excited about this team, and I'd be curious to know if you are excited about them as well. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, and for those of you who are watching the stream, you can leave a comment, and you can get to us right there. So, yeah, well, look, again, I get stuck because I hear the words coming out of my mouth, and I almost feel like at times I'm being too positive, that I'm being too excited about everything. But that's the way I feel about stuff right now, that I really feel like we're starting to... I said this to somebody today. We've seen the Cardinals play probably their best baseball, and we've seen the Cardinals play their worst baseball, obviously, this year. Now, can they play better than their best? Can they play worse than their worst so far this year? We'll find out both of those things. But when you compare who they've looked at like when they've played their absolute best baseball, and who they've looked like when they've played their absolute worst baseball, neither of those things is probably representative of who they really are. But I would argue that they're closer to the team that we have seen when they're playing their best baseball, as opposed to the team that we have seen when they're playing their worst baseball. You're not going to get your starting pitchers going seven innings every single day like has been happening the last couple days. Gordon Graceffo is going to have some bumps in the road at some point in time. He has looked so good. The bullpen, as bad as it was for a while, it has looked really good here over the last, really since Ryan Fernandez got sent down. This is not an attack on Ryan Fernandez. And I saw Bernie Miklas talking about this, and I'll ask him about it when he joins us in just a few moments. But you can really date back to the bullpen shuffle starting to happen in an impactful way around the time that Fernandez got sent down. And since then, the bullpen has performed at a high level. There's also the connections to when starting pitchers go deeper into games, your bullpen's going to be better because there's not overuse. When you're able to have some games where you're winning or losing by more than three, you're able to avoid your leverage guys. You're able to put people in situations where they can be successful. We saw Chris Roycroft cover the ninth today. I thought that was great. I thought that was a perfect spot for him. He's able to finish a game, and he's able to get out there in a low-pressure situation, and he went out there and he took care of business against a bad team. The Pirates are terrible. The Pirates are terrible. It is remarkable how many really bad teams we have in baseball right now. Like, really bad teams we have in baseball. The Colorado Rockies are horrible. The Chicago White Sox are horrible. The Pittsburgh Pirates are horrible. Those are probably the three worst teams in baseball. Marlins aren't very good. They're maybe just barely a step better than those teams. I know from a record standpoint, Baltimore's right there. Baltimore's a lot better than their record would indicate, for sure. I have to think at some point they're going to come out of it. The Cardinals have them on the schedule here in a few weeks, so hopefully they continue to do what they're doing right now through that point. But to have three teams in the Pirates, the White Sox, and the Rockies that are just playing, like, this isn't about being a bad Major League team. This is about being a team that's not worthy of being in Major League Baseball. Like, that's where they're at right now, those three teams. Those are not Major League Baseball teams. And they've got some good parts. Like, obviously, the Pirates have some really good pieces. Paul Skenes, Mitch Keller, David Bednar, O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, even Andrew McCutchen's putting together a solid season. Like, I'm not saying that there's not guys on these teams that are good, but the collective unit, these teams are bad, and they're playing bad baseball. Like, everything about them is bad, and it's embarrassing that the ownerships and the baseball executives in those three markets have allowed those teams to get as bad as they are right now. Wasn't expecting to go off on that tangent, but with the Pirates leaving town, just a reminder that they are bad. Bernie Miklas is going to join us coming up in just a moment. We'll see if he shares my optimism about the way the team is playing right now. He joins us in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We love talking with Bernie Miklas. And Bernie Miklas here on KMOX. It would help if I could pronounce his last name correctly. It's brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. Bernie, always appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hey, Matt. It's fun to be with you. And, you know, fun to also talk about some good baseball played by the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, I am too. And it was an impactful last few days. It gets them back to 500. It gets them in a second place tie. They've got the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball. We're seeing good things from starting pitching. We're seeing really fun things from guys like Victor Scott and Mason Wynn. Like, there's nothing but really positive. The bullpen's been performing at a high level. The decisions that Oliver Marmol's making are paying off. Like, it's just a lot of really good stuff right now.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of cynicism out there because I've heard this today like five times. Well, you know, anybody can sweep the Pirates. Okay, then what about the series earlier this year when the Cardinals lost to the Pirates? I mean, everyone acts like these wins are erratic because the team you're playing isn't the greatest team. If you don't play well, you're going to lose to that team. So I don't understand this desire to discredit victories.
Yeah.
They all count in the standings, okay? Win or lose, they all count.
Miami didn't sweep the Pirates. Tampa Bay didn't sweep the Pirates. Washington didn't sweep the Pirates. The Angels took two. Like, that's a crazy statement, right? Like, there's a lot of teams that have not swept the Pirates, for sure. Let's start with Victor Scott II, because what we saw from him today, got around the bases in less than 10 seconds, scoring from first on a base hit. Later on, scored from first on what turned into a double, but it was kind of the same situation. It was out to left field. Mason Wynn just did a really good job of turning a single into a double. We're seeing this dude's speed, and he's impacting the game on the bases, in the field, at the plate. An electrifying player, and we're seeing him do some special things.
He's emerging as a star, and you know, maybe that's premature. I don't think so, because Matt, I think you would agree with this. There have been a couple of times this season where it looked like, you know, he was tailing off, and maybe pitchers figured something out. Maybe he was pressing. Not that I thought that he would crater, but I thought, well, we still have to kind of keep our perspective on him. But every time he's been in one of those areas where it looked like he could go either way, he's always picked up the pace and gotten better. And that's a great sign in a young player. I mean, he knows he's a really smart guy, and he's obviously really, really mature for his age, and also talented in every phase of the game. I mean, during this and the speed, listen, I don't have to tell you, Matt, you grew up here, and I don't have to tell anybody this, of the people of a certain age, but I told someone on X a while ago, Victor Scott could have played for Whitey Herzog. There's mm-hmm. no doubt in my mind, right?
Yeah.
And that's quite a compliment, given how much love the Run and Redbirds had under Whitey.
You're right. And even though baseball is different now, Bernie, you're never going to have teams that just play small ball and are going crazy on the bases and are trying to push across a single run. But that doesn't mean that speed can't be impactful. And I thought one of the things today that got lost in all that, where his speed was big on that Lars Nootbaar single, by Scott scoring, that allowed Nootbaar to take second, and then all of a sudden he's in scoring position. So it's not just about his speed allowing himself to score. He's allowing it helps other guys be successful as well.
See, and I'm glad you brought that up. All right, here's the deal. Do I appreciate his stolen bases? Yeah, he's 11 for 12, Victor Scott. But I also, you know, I think, you know, we have to be careful about saying, boy, they need to steal more bases. They need to steal more bases. I don't know that they're a good base stealing team other than him. And where the speed really matters, where it really, really matters, and you just explained it very well, whether you want to call it functional speed or speed on the base paths that have nothing to do with a steal, you know, advancing extra base, drawing throws to maybe get an error or allow one of your teammates to move up. That kind of speed is really, really essential. The Cardinals are pretty good at that and getting better at that, just using their speed on the bases.
What did you think about the way the bullpen was used the last few days? They went all in game one, knowing that game two was the Skeens game and there was no guarantee. That left them short in game two, but Mats and Graceffo come and do their job. And then even today, they were able to utilize a five-run lead and get a guy like Roycroft an inning that's probably meaningful for him. It really felt like things came together from a bullpen perspective.
You know, the bullpen's been getting better and better and better, and none of us are trying to blame everything on Ryan Fernandez. But I think we all agreed he needed to go down and regroup. And, you know, that happened after that loss in Atlanta, the second walk-off in a row. And since that time, I mean, the St. Louis bullpen has shined because it gave Ali Marmol and Dusty Blake a chance to reorganize the bullpen. And to me, they've done it very, very well. I mean, the bullpen ERA since that point, since April the 25th, is, you know, down around 266 or something like that. And they've only had one blown save. And, you know, they're utilizing different guys. They've kind of remixed the bullpen and they've changed some roles. And I think it's really paying off because there's a definite improvement in this bullpen. Before that time that Fernandez got down, when they had a 5-11 ERA, four losses, or might have been actually eight losses, and like six blown saves. Like, it's been a huge difference since then.
We've talked about this before, but it's worth bringing up again. Matthew Liberatore probably doesn't get an opportunity to be in the rotation if this team is not focusing on runway and young guys. And we've made fun of that and had fun with it and everything, and rightfully so. And sometimes because in some situations, it feels like that's more of a crutch than a real thing that's happening. But in the situation with Liberatore, they give him the opportunity to be a starter because they want to see what they have in the guy. And now that they've just trusted him and now that they've just put him in there and he's going to start every fifth or sixth day, he has responded in a huge way. And Bernie, it's still really early. We'll watch him all year long and see where these numbers sit. But in terms of what he can control and what he's done so far, he's putting together a really special season.
He's a really confident guy now. I mean, the maturity's kicked in a big way. And he's got a nastiness to him, not outwardly nastiness, and you know, where he's growling at people or acting up. But he just gets after him. I mean, he goes after him, and he's getting a lot of looks from hitters like, dude, I can't believe you just threw that pitch. I can't believe where you just put it. You know, he's thrown five different pitches. Listen, Matthew Liberatore's got a long way to go. We all know that. But I don't believe we need to say that every time we talk about baseball in May or whatever. But he's one of the best starting pitchers in baseball to this point. I base that on a couple of things. He went in today tied for fifth in the majors among innings qualified major league starting pitchers with a 1.4 wins above replacement. I mean, he's hanging in the top 10 in a lot of different categories. His fielding independent ERA is sixth best among starting pitchers. His strikeout walk ratio, which is outstanding, is I think sixth best in the majors among starting pitchers. He's also got one of the lowest home run rates allowed. I mean, he's doing everything you want a guy to do. He's pounding the strike zone. He's not cluttering up the base paths with walks. And the other thing, Matt, and you know, we all know very well, up until this year, this left-hander got destroyed, just got crushed by right-handed batters. You know what right-handed batters are hitting against him this season? 210. I think it is 210, yeah. And he's actually pitching better against right-handed hitters than left-handed hitters. I mean, that's a really big deal if you think about it.
Huge, huge deal. And Kevin Wheeler and I talked about this today on Redbird Rush Hour. The dude's 25 years old, and if you want to hold against him what he did last year, 2 years. 2 years ago, he's the age of a college senior, basically,
right.
And he's in Major League Baseball. Like, he's still developing, and that's okay. And we'll talk about Jordan Walker here in just a moment, but it's sort of, I think people sometimes need to take a step back and look at the birth date of some of these guys and realize sometimes it's a bit of a process.
No, I agree. The only problem I ever had with the Cardinals is that they were reluctant to really commit to him as a full-time starter. But I also understand the objective of those seasons were different. But I don't think they helped him by, you know, yo-yoing him between the bullpen and starting. But to your point, look, what's done is done, and he's still very young, and now all of a sudden he has bloomed as a starting pitcher, and he's pretty formidable. You know, since I'm stat boy, let me throw one out. During the expansion era, there's only three left-handed starting pitchers, and the Cardinals have had a strikeout rate of more than that, 8 strikeouts per 9 innings or more. The first one was Ankiel in 2000. Libitor this year would be second, and Steve Carlton back in 69 would be the third one. Now, obviously, Libitor's got a lot to prove, but think about that a minute. You know, the Cardinals have not had many power lefty starters going back to the early 60s. They just haven't. And so if he is going to keep this up, and I think he will, because he's got strikeout punch now, there's no doubt about it. He's kind of a, pardon the play on words, he's kind of a rare bird. They just haven't had power lefties who are any good in their rotation. Not many. And he looks certainly like a candidate who can change that trend.
It's not all roses and sunshine. You had a video about this today. Nolan Gorman, Jordan Walker. It's interesting because our narrative, like I'll speak for myself, the narrative was, as those two guys go, the Cardinals will go this year. Well, those guys aren't going, and the Cardinals kind of are, but it has not been great still for Walker and Gorman.
No, and you know, one thing, I've been talking about this a lot in my writing, and I mentioned it on, you know, X or whatever. You know, Ollie Marmol, I thought, gave us a lot of insight into this a couple of weeks ago on Gas House Gang in his Tuesday visit, because I asked him point blank. You know, we know Walker and Gorman are struggling. Is the runway unlimited? And he basically said, look, we're not anywhere near thinking about maybe making a change. And he confirmed, no, it's not unlimited. If we think one of these, you know, if we think one or both of these guys, you know, is just beating themselves up, they feel defeated, they're not handling it well, we have to give them a chance to regroup at a different level, which would be AAA. So, it sounds corny to say they're on the clock, but they're kind of on the clock. I just don't know how long that clock will keep ticking until they do something. And I'm in favor of giving them more time, but it really is a frustrating situation. I'd love to see these guys doing better, but if anything, except for Gorman's plate discipline, which has improved, but just from the basic numbers, you know, they haven't gotten better. It looks a lot like last year.
Bernie's video and written content can be found at Sports Hub STL. He co-hosts the Cardinals Territory Show along with Katie Wu. I hear a new program is going to be coming up here very, very soon. And Bernie, we always appreciate your time. And of course, you are brought to us by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Yeah, Saliga Heating and Cooling is a Daikon heating and air conditioning dealer. And listen, the Miklas family's been calling Saliga for 16, 17 years to help us out in our home. And we love what they do. I mean, their integrity, and they're knowledgeable, and they're trustworthy. And boy, are they just professional in the way that they handle the business when they come into your home, explain problems. It's Saliga Heating and Cooling. We've never had to doubt anything about any aspect of how they do their job. And they have found ways to actually save us money. You know, they don't try to sell us equipment. You really need this. No, they've actually gone the other way with that. Just no, you're going to be fine for a couple years. And that's why they have this Priority Club maintenance program, because they come out and they check your equipment twice a year. And then they catch a small problem. It happened with us about 10, 11 days ago. They catch a small problem and they fixed it. And it was no big deal. It could have gone and turned into a huge problem if we weren't on the maintenance program. So I encourage everyone to take a look at the Priority Club and becoming a member. And you can go to Saliga Heating and Cooling, Saligaheatingandcooling.com. That's Saligaheatingandcooling.com. Thank you.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Come back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We are starting to wrap things up. We've got a short program today because of St. Louis City SC, so they'll be coming up here in just a little while, pregame at 6:50. My name is Matt Pauley. Just a few moments left. I wanted to go through some of the text messages that we have received here. And this is funny. So if you've been listening to the whole thing, I said earlier that, you know, I listen to like the words that are coming out of my mouth and I hear this overly positive person and I want to like, I have this instinct to like pump the brakes because I realize that it's May 7th. So one texter from the 314 says, Kool-Aid anybody? Meaning I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm being overly positive. I'm not being truthful, whatever it might be. And then got another text message from another 314 number. This came from our guy Ballgame. Said, Matt, just a little feedback. You're not being overly positive. The team and the players have earned that positive point of view. There are things developing that the average fan doesn't recognize until after the fact. It's going to be a fun summer for those that love the game. So, yeah, there you go. Like, some people think I am drinking Kool-Aid, being overly positive, being a homer, yada, yada, yada. Other people think, no, you're not being overly positive. So that's the world that we live in. And most of the things I say, it seems like there can be both sides of it. Also, text message from 314 when talking about, because I said earlier that the Pirates are terrible, right? Pirates are terrible. And the person, and this is a good point. I know they're being kind of a smart aleck about it, but it's actually a good point worth talking through. Said, yet we beat them 6-3, 2-1, and 5-0. Not that impressive. Okay. On a surface level, that's fine. You know where the Pirates are good? They're a good pitching team. And Cardinals saw two really good pitchers this series in Paul Skenes and Mitch Keller. Both those guys are legit. Like, that's the weird thing about the Pirates. The Pirates have, like, there's bad teams sometimes that just have no good players or nobody that's like you would really want to have. The weird thing about the Pirates is they are so top heavy. They've got four or five guys that basically any team in baseball would love to have. Any team in baseball would love O'Neill Cruz. Any team in baseball would love Brian Reynolds. Any team in baseball would love Paul Skenes. Any team in baseball would love Mitch Keller. Any team in baseball would love David Bednar. Not saying he'd be a closer for any team in baseball. He'd be a closer for most. But there's a spot in a bullpen for David Bednar on every single team in Major League Baseball. And there's, you know, Andrew McCutchen's having a nice season. What, he has like a 730 OPS, 740 OPS, somewhere in there, maybe even a little bit better than that. Like, it's not an all-star season, but he's having a solid season, and we know what Andrew McCutchen brings. So those are good guys. Those are really nice pieces on a major league roster. However, it's a terrible baseball team. It is a horrendous baseball team. So that just tells you about the rest of the lineup, the rest of the roster, everything else that's going on. So, when you talk about the Pirates and what you need to do against them, you need to shut their lineup down because there's two or three guys that can beat you and nothing more than that. And you find a way to navigate through those few guys. And I almost in hindsight, I talked about this a little bit on the postgame show yesterday, but it's worth bringing back. I think when you looked at the way that Oliver Marmol managed this series, he largely managed it in a way that, especially once they got to the bullpen, he managed it in a way to avoid damage from those top of the order hitters from the Pirates. So, for example, in the game, and we talked about this that night, and I even said, oh, you know what, I probably would have let Gordon Graceffo pitch a second inning. I've kind of backed off for that now, especially with what happened the next day with Graceffo being the guy to close it out, and you're not getting him on back-to-backs if he throws a multiple. So I would kind of, you know, take back what I said the other night, just when I really take a step back and see how the entire series ends up playing out. But in that moment, what you were trying to avoid was if Graceffo comes back out there and he's not as good for a second inning, then all of a sudden you've got runners on and the top of the order coming up, and maybe you end up with O'Neill Cruz against Jojo Romero. And that's not a matchup that I think anybody really wants to see. Or you've got Kyle Leahy going there, and Leahy's coming on in a situation where runners are on, and it's not as good of a situation for him. Yesterday, when Graceffo pitches on a back-to-back, where did they use him? They used him in the ninth inning, yes. But more importantly, they used him once they got a little bit down in the order. So they put Matz in to cover the top of the order in the eighth inning. That's where it happened. You know, if that game would have played out a little bit differently, where they were towards the bottom of the order and middle of the order in the eighth inning, it might have been Graceffo there, and then Matz would have been there to cover the ninth on the top of the order. So being able to manage, you know, that order and making sure that you don't let them have any success against you, and then go and do what you're supposed to do and find a way to push across a few runs. So yeah, you can be dismissive of the results of the, you know, scores of the game because the Pirates are bad. Cardinals did exactly what they needed to do. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. We've got a full show tomorrow night, 6 to 8, here on KMOX.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.